The Democratic presidential candidates made headlines in a radio-only forum yesterday in Iowa. It was sponsored by NPR and the WOI radio group. But commentator John Ridley wasn't listening for the news.
So I find myself on the aggressively utilitarian, and I mean that in a good way, downtown campus of Iowa State University for the NPR Democratic presidential debate. I know what you're thinking. Another debate? Who needs more prefab yatter about the cap on Medicare deductibles? Now, normally, I'd agree with you. Normally. Now, Neil Conan, host of Talk of the Nation, is moderator of the debate. He's a low-key but knowledgeable cat, like that one high school teacher you'd actually invite to a keg party. And Neil broke down for me why this debate is special.
The last debate we know of was in 1948, and the reason there hasn't been one since might it be the fact that the two candidates who participated in that one were Harold Stassen and Tom Dewey, whose political careers did not exactly rocket afterwards, so that may be the reason.
Now, inside the debate space, there would be no TV cameras, no still photographers, and the candidate's faithful supporters, like Bethany Jones, found themselves kicked to the curb where some 136 degree below zero Iowa in January weather was waiting for him.
It's about 10 below right now. You're outside. You've got signs and everything. It's a radio debate. Why you stand outside in the cold on a radio debate?
I don't really know for sure. They told me to get a sign and come down and support my candidate, so that's why I'm here.
Is it weird for you to be outside and holding signs when nobody's going to see this today?
It is, but our candidate might see it. I think he's going to be running by, and it's to support him and show him that we're supporting him and we're out here in the negative weather.
Yeah, John Kerry and hot dogs. I don't get the significance either. But clearly, the senator saw the significance of debating on radio.
I think it's a relaxed atmosphere, and it gives you a chance to not sort of think about, no distractions. I like that. Talk to folks very directly, and I really like it. It's a great medium.
Wow. Is that guy pumped or what? If Harold Stassen had shown that kind of enthusiasm back in 1948, he'd have an airport named after him by now. Senator Kerry came dressed for the liberal media in brown cords and an Oxford shirt. All the other men arrived so buttoned down you'd figure they were applying for a loan. Howard Dean was working so hard to look presidential, he refused to so much as remove his suit jacket, no matter he could have worn baggies and a throwback jersey and nobody would have even known. I watch as the candidates, smiling and convivial, make their way into the broadcast room. I have the privilege of being the only civilian to actually witness the debate. And as you can imagine, it delivered all the excitement that political discourse by middle-aged white guys and one black woman can offer. The debaters sparred back and forth intelligently on subjects ranging from referendums in Taiwan to limitations on snowmobiling in national parks. Everything was as it should be until one candidate made a crucial mistake that may end up costing him the White House.
At this point, it takes up about 50% of the discretionary budget of this country.
Congressman Kucinich is holding up a pie chart, which not truly effective on the radio.
50%.
Visual aids at a radio debate. Some guys just don't get it. After two solid hours of verbal judo, the candidates left the broadcast room wearing game faces, but in their eyes you could see the glint of uncertainty of how well they actually survive this unforgiving medium. Here's Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun.
I think the radio debates are very important, again, because you get to listen to what people are saying, and the theatrics and the all the set decoration is less important. No distractions.
You don't have to look as nice. You can just more casually, like a regular person.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
So just how well did a radio debate play with the rest of the media? To find out, I slogged past the ENG crews, the still photogs down in the spin zone that had gurgled up like a bog after the event. I went right to the source, the hardest working reporter on the trail, regardless of gender, CNN's Candy Crawley.
It sounded different. I don't know how it felt, because not being in the room, I think you lose them because you don't see if they're glaring at each other while they're, you know, you don't see that. But it certainly sounded different. I mean, my guess is when you're sitting around a table looking at somebody, it's a lot harder to call them an idiot.
When you're electing a president, there are always intangibles. Going with radio, who had your favorite radio voice of the six candidates?
Wow, my favorite radio voice of the candidates. You know who has a lovely voice? Carol Moseley Braun.
There you have it. Carol Moseley Braun with their first and perhaps only victory on the trail, courtesy of this little box. Thank you, radio. Thank you for being you.
The comments of John Ridley, a Hollywood writer and director, is author of The Drift and A Conversation with the Man.